Good morning. Again, I want to welcome you to Life Change Church. We're so excited that you decided to spend your morning with us. Today, we're going to start a series entitled Life Change. And as you saw from the video, Life Change is so much more than just a church name. Life Change is what happens when we experience Jesus. Life Change is part of that growing relationship with God. Whether it's the initial start or part of the ongoing maturing process, life change happens at every phase. And it's what happens again when we experience Jesus in our lives. And our purpose at Life Change Church is this, is to love people to life change. So through this series, we're going to dig into what it really means to love people to life change and the process of how we love people to life change, which we believe is through connect, grow, give, and replicate. We believe that we can connect on Sunday morning services. And the goal for these services, and there actually is a goal, is to connect with each other and connect with God in a relevant arena. We believe that we can grow as well, which we have life groups designed so that we can grow with each other in our relationship with God. We believe that we can grow through prayer, and we also believe that we grow through personal disciplines. We believe another part of the process of life change is by giving. And this is a twofold thing where we can serve, where we serve to follow Jesus' examples, where he served to help others. We can again serve to help others experience who Jesus is. And then we can give financially by trusting God with a portion or a percentage of our finances, showing that we place him first. And the last part of that process of loving people to life change is through replicate, which is leadership development. It's where we take someone to the level that we're at and we seek after somebody else to take us to the level they're at. This is what's called discipleship as well. So for the next 4 weeks, this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about life change through connect, grow, give, and replicate. So let's dig in today. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Genesis. As today we're going to talk about connecting, and this whole concept of connection goes all the way back to the beginning. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis. We're going to start in chapter 2, verses 18, then we're going to jump to chapter 3. And in Genesis 2, verses 18, it says this: "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. So I will make a helper who is just right for him.'" From the very beginning, God knew we needed to connect with others. God knew that we needed a helper. We need somebody to help us along in life. He designed us and created us so that we could connect with each other. But he also created us so that we connect with him as well. So let's continue to read in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 19. And this is a longer portion of our passage, but just hang in there with me as I go through and we'll explain it. Genesis 3 starts in verse 1. It says, "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?' 'Of course we may eat from the fruit in the trees in the garden,' the woman replied. 'It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. So again, in this passage, just verses 1 and 2, it's explaining how connected God was to Adam and Eve. God was to the man and the woman. He was so connected that everything that was created, everything in the garden was on limits, except for one thing, one tree in the middle of the garden, and it was off limits because it was what would disconnect them from God. Continues in verse 4, says, "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." So right here in verse 4, this is the serpent, this is Lucifer. And his whole goal was to disconnect God from man and the woman. It was to disconnect Adam and Eve from God. Continues in verse 6, it says, "The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. And she wanted the wisdom it would give her, so she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. So right there, they ate from the fruit, and what happened right then? All of a sudden, they experienced shame. They tried to hide themselves. They tried to cover themselves up because all of a sudden, they had a disconnect from God. They became disconnected once they ate of that fruit. Verse 9, it continues, said, "Then the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He replied, 'I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked.' 'Who told you that you were naked?' the Lord God asked. 'Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?' The man replied, 'It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it.'" We're going to stop right there and look at this. In verse 12, this is where the blame game started. And think about this. Think about the biggest mistake that you could ever make in your life. Think about how big a wedge that could draw in between a relationship that you have with another person. This is what happened. This is what Satan, this is what Lucifer used to draw a wedge in between the man and the woman. Not only did that, once they ate of the tree, did it disconnect man and woman from God, but it disconnected them from each other as well. Verse 13, it continues, "Then the Lord God asked the woman, 'What have you done?' 'The serpent deceived me,' she replied. 'That's why I ate it.'" Now here's where it comes, the results of the disconnect. In verse 14, it says, "Then the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel.' Then he said to the woman, 'I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you.' And to the man he said, 'Since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return.'" All right, if you're here today, turn to your neighbor right now and just look to them and say, "Man, I feel super encouraged after that story." Just joking. Let's jump into this a bit, though. Because through this story, it shows that God is connected with Adam and Eve. In fact, Adam and Eve and God were so connected that again, everything in the garden was on limits except for one tree. They spent time together by walking through the garden together. And it also showed that Adam and Eve were connected together. But the serpent, Lucifer, wanted to disconnect God from us. And in turn, he wanted to disconnect us from each other. And he used the tree to do so. The disobedience that came when they ate of the tree led to the disconnect. They had to hide from God. They tried to cover themselves, and then they played the blame game. The tree was a wedge between us and God, and between each other as well. The wedge disconnect was so great that there had to be a sacrifice that was made. The disconnect between us and God was so great that in order to try to connect with him again, there had to be a sacrifice that was made. And all throughout the Old Testament, you see sacrifices after sacrifices after sacrifices made because it only led to a temporary connection with God. But here comes the good news. Here comes the encouraging part. God sent his only son to make the ultimate permanent sacrifice so that we could connect with him. God sent his son to live a perfect life on earth, to die for our sins, to take our sins upon that cross. He removed everything that we did wrong through the cross so that we could connect with him. In Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me." In this passage of Scripture, it's Jesus speaking through the revelation of John. The revelation of John is simply a dream that John had, that he wrote it all down. And in this passage, Jesus is speaking and he's saying that he wants to connect with us. But we have to let him. We have to open the door. Because without connection, there is no life. We need to stay connected. We need to stay connected with God, and we need to stay connected with the people who lead us to God. Studies show that people grow in Christ and connect with God better when they have 4 to 7 close Christian friends. So where do you find Christian friends? ChristianMingle.com, of course. No, I'm just playing. Hopefully, you can find Christian friends in church. Listen, we are intentional on how we've kind of designed church that after this service, we have a time where we can go out there and we can connect in the foyer through snacks and refreshments, where we can build relationships with others. We have life groups built into our church where we want to do life together in each other's homes, where we can connect with people on a different level. We try to surround ourselves with other Christian friends so that we can find other Christian friends through them. Now listen, hear me out though. I'm not saying they should only have Christian friends. We need to be friendly to all. We need to still have connections with people who don't know Christ because we might be the only Jesus they ever experience. But we also need to be careful who we allow to speak into our life. Because we need to stay connected with each other and we need to stay connected with God. Again, if you look back at that story of Adam and Eve, what happened once they disobeyed? What happened once they were disconnected? That disconnection resulted in death. Verse 19, it says, "For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return." Without connection, there is no life. There is no power. If I were to unconnect or unplug this lamp up here on the stage, if I were to ever to plug it in into its power source, there's no way for me to turn the light on. I can flip the switch back and forth. I can tighten the light bulb. I can dance around it. I can rub the lampshade. I can do all these different things. But unless I connect it into the power source, it will never turn on. Have you ever been to that point in your life? Maybe you're there now where you try to flip the switch on, but you've got nothing. Maybe to the point where you have no power. Maybe to the point where you even feel like you have no life. Let me ask you, are you connected? What's your weakest point in your life right now? Maybe for you, maybe your marriage is on the ropes. Maybe for you, you're going to walk into your office on Monday morning and you're walking into a meeting where you're going to get fired. Maybe for you, your finances are at a breaking point. Let me ask you, have you brought God into these areas? Have you brought God into your personal struggles? Because connecting with God is personal. We need to bring our personal struggles to God. In Luke 12:7, it says, "Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows." God loves us as individuals and wants us as individuals to love Him back. Connecting with God is personal. See, someday I believe that we're going to stand before God and we're going to be by ourselves. We're not going to have our friends with us. We're not going to have our family. We're not going to have our loved ones. It's going to be just us and God. All the things in life that we've done are going to be there and we're going to be accountable for those. And it's just going to be between us and God. For example, my daughter Berkeley or my son Griffin, they're not going to get to heaven and say, "You know what, my dad was a pastor. My mom led worship. She sang songs on the stage. That should be enough, right?" No, it has to be personal. It's our decision. It's our choice. And God wants these stories. You know those "you had to be there" type of stories? God wants those stories with us. Because it has to be personal. And God wants us just to be able to say that to Him. That, you know what, we had these stories because I was there with you. Which often means that we need to connect with God in our area of passion. See, I believe we all have different talents. We all have different abilities. We all have different passions. Each one of us is uniquely different. And we need to invite Christ into that uniqueness. For some of us, maybe we enjoy walking. We enjoy exercising, running, scrapbooking, quilting. Whatever it is, whatever our hobbies are, whatever our passions are, we need to invite God into those passions. We need to invite God into our run. Invite God into our walk. Invite God into our scrapbooking session. Invite God into our exercise time. Because we need to connect with God in our areas of passion. For me, I have a couple different passions. One includes bicycling. It used to be motorcycling, but we had kids, which is actually my second passion. I enjoy hanging out with my kids as well. So since I enjoy hanging out with my kids, I gave up the passion for motorcycle riding. I do one day hope to connect with Jesus again through motorcycle riding, but for now, it includes bicycle riding and hanging out with my family. So when I'm on a bicycle, I connect with God through just the beauty and of nature. Maybe I'm being out in the country on these back country roads and I can just experience what God has created. Other times I experience what God has created by maybe I'm just completely on the bike and I'm completely exhausted and I'm just praying to God to try to help get me home safely and not die on the side of the road. Again, I connect with God through my family by just watching my kids, some of the things that they do, it's just a complete miracle. Just watching how they interact, how they talk, the things that they learn, you see their process and their mind just going through. It's a complete miracle, which just helps me connect with God so much better. Sometimes, though, when I'm hanging out with them, I connect with God just because I'm praying for patience to deal with them as well, because they can get completely crazy as well. But we need to invite God into our areas of passion. I think there's all different types of passions. There's all different types of ways where we can connect with God. Here's just a couple examples. For some of you, maybe you're a naturalist, where you sense God, where you experience God and His creation by being around nature. You have that connection with Him through there. Maybe for some of you, you're a sensei, where you experience God through sights, through sound, through touch, through smell, through taste, or any of these different things. Maybe some of you are traditionalists, where you express your love for God through rituals, through symbols. Maybe your past, your upbringing was filled with rituals, and you feel closest to God when you're doing those things. Let me challenge you to do those things. Do those things that bring you closer to God, and that will allow you to be in His presence. Maybe you connect with God, maybe through aesthetics. Maybe you love God through solitude. You get away and connect. Maybe you're an activist where you love God through a cause. You have to have a cause, whether it's clean drinking water across the world, but you just love God by doing something for Him. Maybe you're a caregiver where you experience God through loving others by caring for someone. Maybe you're an enthusiast where you just experience God with that mystery, with that celebration. You enjoy the hype. Maybe you're a contemplator where you dwell on the things and rest in God's presence. Maybe you're an intellectual where you love God with your mind. You love those deep Bible studies, that systematic theology, those apologetics. You enjoy thinking on things of God and thinking deeply on those. All these things, none of them are right, none of them are wrong, but they're just ways where we can connect with God. And that's important. We need to connect with God in our areas of passion. We need to connect with God with who we really are. Because without connection, there is no life. What's an area of your life that you can invite God into? How can you connect with God through your passions? How can you make a connection with God personal? Connecting with God also must be constant. See, once I plug this in lamp in, I need to keep it plugged in. If this lamp is constantly plugged in, then I can use the light at any time. It will always have power. Think about it at home. You don't just plug a lamp in on a Monday, turn it on, and hope that you experience enough light throughout the whole week, right? You leave that lamp plugged in at all times, so that when you need that light, that always has a power source. It's always connected. The same truth is true for us with our relationship with God. We need to remain connected at all times. It can't just be a feel-good item for an hour on Sunday, then just all of a sudden turn it off. We must be hooked up to the power source to stay connected. And that power source for us is Jesus Christ. In John 15, 1 through 9, this is Jesus. He's talking to the disciples, and He's telling them how to carry on. It says this in verse 1. It says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And He prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus, he's giving instructions to the disciples because he knows that his ministry on earth is about to be over. So he's telling his disciples what to do. He's telling them how to carry on. He's telling them to remain in him. In fact, Jesus uses the word remain 8 times throughout this passage, which means he's telling them to continue in the same state, to be constant. He's urging his disciples to remain constant in him, and he's doing the same thing for us. We need to be connecting with him constantly. In our relationship with God, in our relationship with Jesus, we must be connecting with him constantly. And think about this. This is so true for any relationship, really, right? Think about a relationship between a husband and wife. We'll just look at my wife, Sarah, and I. For some reason, she wants to talk to me like every day. She wants to connect with me every single day. And the crazy part is that I want to do the same. I want to connect with her every day. I want to talk with her every day. Sometimes we connect by yelling, but that just means that we're connecting a little bit louder, right? But we need to talk to each other every day. It needs to remain constant. If I were only to talk to my wife, Sarah, on a Sunday morning for an hour, our relationship would be broken at best. I would be lacking something, and we'd probably even go searching elsewhere to find that void. Because we need to remain connected, and it needs to be constant. And we need to do the same thing with Jesus. We need to have a constant connection with him. In Isaiah 40:31, it says, "But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." We will be constantly recharged. We will be constantly renewed in God. Imagine that. But our connection has to be constant. And our connection with God must be noticeable. We need to flip the switch on. See, I can have this lamp plugged in. I can even leave it plugged in. But in order for it to be noticeable, it needs to be turned on. For the light to shine, all must be connected, and it must be turned on. Let's continue to look at what Jesus is telling his disciples, the disciples in John chapter 15. We'll carry on from where we left off at verse 10 and go through 14. And it says this, "When you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command." Jesus again is saying, remain in his love. How do we remain in his love? By obeying his commands. By loving each other as he has loved us. And if we do that, then we will be filled with joy that's overflowing. Guess what? That's noticeable. That means we're turning the light switch on in our lives. That means that what we're doing is that we're loving others and we have joy in our lives and we're sharing that joy with others. People can tell that. To be honest too, people can tell when we're not connecting with God. Oftentimes, for instance, in my life, I know when I'm not connected with God because my fuse gets short. I become negative rather than looking at the positive. But when I'm connected with God, it's so noticeable because I have so much more patience. I have a better attitude. I'm filled with joy and I'm showing love. And people around me can tell as well. Because a connection with God is noticeable. What is your life showing now? Do you have a short fuse or do you have joy? Are you representing love in your life? See, sometimes when you're not connected to God, it's the hardest time to connect. But I want to challenge you just to be real with God. If you don't feel like praying with God, tell Him that you don't feel like praying with God. And then realize, guess what you just did? You just prayed to God. Because praying should be real. It doesn't have to be fancy. What prayer is when we're talking to God and giving Him the opportunity to speak to us. God's voice must be the loudest voice in our lives. If we are truly connecting with God, His voice has to be the loudest. Whose voice is the loudest in your life now? Maybe for you that's a family member. Maybe for you the loudest voice in your life is work. Maybe for you that's your past telling you that you can't move forward, telling you that you can't succeed. What's the loudest voice in your life now? And let me challenge you to seek after what God is saying. To be honest, I never heard God speak audibly to me, but I believe that He speaks to us in the Spirit. I believe that He kind of puts an inkling in us where and telling us what to do, and we need to follow that feeling. We must be willing to follow that leading for Him to continue to speak to us. His voice must be the loudest in our lives because it's what keeps us connected to Him. So how do we connect with God? If you're taking notes, I'm going to shoot out some quick foundations, and you can write these down for how we can connect with God. Number one is God's Word. Scripture is foundational. The greatest way that God can speak to you is through His Word, is through the Bible. It's His Word, it's truth, it's foundational in connecting us to God. And even if you're here today and you don't even believe that the Bible is true, I believe that God can still speak through you if you read it. Number two is our prayer life. If we're not spending time in prayer, then we are not connecting with God. And how do we pray? Again, there are those scripted prayers that we could have, but we need to move to where we're praying like we're talking to our best friend. It doesn't have to be all, "Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your bountiful blah, 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 blah." It doesn't just have to be a list of items. God just wants to connect with you. He wants to hear your heart, so pray your heart. And remember, part of prayer is not talking at all, but it's listening. Number three way we can connect with God is through the church. Coming to church is foundational. Again, the church isn't these walls. It's not just this barrier of what we're in right now. The church is us. It's a gathering of people. And a gathering of people that help us and lead us to Christ. We're supposed to keep each other accountable as a church. We're supposed to encourage each other as a church. We're supposed to help each other out. That's how He designed us. That's why staying connected in church helps us grow closer to God and helps us stay connected to God. Oftentimes, the disconnect with church is one of the first steps in falling away from your relationship with God. Number four is serving. And this is simple. If we want to look like Jesus, we need to do what He did. If we want to connect with Jesus, we need to do what He did. And we need to serve. If you're here and you want to find out how to serve more at Life Change Church, just join us Sunday evening, October 12th. You can mark your connection card for that as well. But October 12th, we're going to have a serve meeting. And you can learn how to serve with inside of Life Change Church. But I do want to challenge you, there's so many different opportunities where you can serve out in the community as well. But if we want to look like Jesus, if we want to connect with Jesus, we have to act like Him. We have to serve. Number five is giving. Giving shows that God has importance in our life. When we give a percentage of what we make and we give it to Him first, we're showing that we are placing Him first. We're letting Him control us rather than our finances control us. Number six is worship. It's where we just thank God for what He's done and we thank Him for who He is. And again, number seven is our passion, where we need to invite God into anything that we're doing already so that we can connect with Him. Corey, if you would come up. Let me ask you, how's your connection with God? Before I finish speaking, I just want to end by giving you an opportunity to be connected with Jesus. And we're going to make this simple with everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a connection with God. Or maybe you're here today and you had a connection with God, but it's been a long time and you feel that connection's almost broken. Maybe you're even unplugged. You're no longer connected to that power source, but you want to make that decision to be connected today. What I want to do is with you is just pray with you at your seat. I'm going to make this simple. I'm going to count to three, and once I get to three, I just want you to raise your hand. One, with everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed. Two, God is asking you to be connected by starting a relationship with Him. Three, raise your hand.